Well, it is still not yet fully uncovered.
And that is?
The linkage between the Teamsters, various unions, and the Mafia. And in fact, the Mafia itself has been in virtual control of the unions in the United States since the mid-20s and beyond.
All right.
The collusion between the two, the unions and the Mafia, has diverted billions upon billions of dollars. This will be discovered in 92 and 93 to show that the Mafia has its tentacles in virtually every union movement in the United States. But of course, much of that has decayed in the past 2 years and 3 years, because the Mafia is in a struggle for its existence. It is being overtaken by certain Jamaican groups and certain religious groups. You see?
In the unions?
In the Mafia in itself.
Oh, you mean the Italian Mafia is being overtaken?
The Italian Mafia is getting weaker and weaker.
What kind of religious groups?
Rastafarian, Jamaican groups.
They're taking over the American...
They're taking over a considerable amount. The Colombians are in force. The Cubans are in force. Much of the money-lending activities have been taken over by the drug Colombians. Have taken over a considerable amount.
And they, when you say in force, they're working with the Jamaicans?
Yes.
Yeah.
To squeeze out the Italian Mafia. In actuality, they refer to it as the Italian Jewish Mafia.
Yeah. Is that true? Is there a Jewish element?
There's a Jewish element, but not because of any religious aspect.
That comes from Meyer Lansky.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, because of that, you'll find that a number of deaths will be occurring, and mostly Italian deaths, in Canada and the United States, and that the there will be the occasional Jamaican death and Colombian death. Now, King...
Can I ask you a question about that?
Yes.
When you say the control of the unions, the Canadian unions?
Yes.
Postal union?
The Canadian Postal Union itself is run by its own internal mafia that would be best described as this is expatriate Europeans with very strong communist leanings.
Yeah, I was going to ask, is the Mafia and Teamsters, were the KGB or the old communist empire infiltrating, working with the unions in that way with the Mafia?
No.
There was a split there.
Yes.
But there is a slight edge in the Canadian unions.
Yes.
Yeah, the government unions of Canada.
Yes.
That's a cultural, I guess, heritage or something.
Yes.
But the industry unions in Canada, like the Boyle gang, you know, Hal Boyle was his name?
Yes.
Can't remember his name.
Through the Seafarers.
Yeah, that's the Mafia link in the Canadian union.
Very much so.
I see. Now, you were going to go into the King?
The King had realized why. And that was that King's work would have altered the demographic voting pattern in the United States.
And the, what would you say, the redneck capitalist element of the East and the South were, you know, threatened by that?
Extremely.
Is that the right thing? Redneck, wealthy businessman kind of level?
Yes.
Yeah.
Not a great number of them, but sufficient. Sufficient to trigger yet one group into doing this. That group duped by the spreading of rumor that that King was in essence and in fact creating an environment where he would become the head of the government of the United States.
Right. Can you name that group?
Now, as we just say, it's ad hoc and they've scattered.
Yeah. The Robert Kennedy, in the book by Bill Turner, they talk about the role of that Reverend Jerry Owen. Was he part of the setting up of Sirhan and the murder of Robert Kennedy?
Part of it, yes.
Yeah. Sirhan, Robert Kennedy.
Yes.
Yeah. And he was a chief preacher, and there's a mafia connection to Chief Preacher Network?
Not strong. Realize the mafia itself and the unions were involved, and it was mostly the unions that promoted this. They were the ones to suffer the most.
That's right, yeah. Was it Robert Kennedy's bodyguard? Can't remember his name. Thor.
No, not involved.
That shot him in the back of the head?
No.
With other people in the audience?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess that's part of disinformation. Is to have that his bodyguard was a suspicious character because he was a racist himself.
Yes, but not, you see, a lot of being racist was not a criteria. It was not racism that initiated the action against Robert Kennedy.
Right.
Strictly economics.
Right, I just remember the information I have on this guy, Thor or something, I can't remember his name. Do you know the name I'm trying to think of?
Mm-hmm.
His bodyguard?
Yes.
You can't say the name.
No.
Yeah, but whoever he was, in quotes, he sounded like a racist in the interviews done with him. So, but that isn't really the element involved. That's just, that creates more confusion.
Yes.
Yeah.
And though it's not created specifically, it's welcomed by those that enjoy the disinformation.
Right. The ones who scattered from doing the Martin Luther King and the Robert Kennedy guys still profited.
Oh, yes.
They needed that. But the ones who scattered from Martin Luther King, did any of them make any money or get anything out of it?
No, they were not in for this for money. They were in for this...
out of fear.
Out of fear.
Yeah. Okay, so in essence, the black population does feel disenfranchised in the 80s. And so this element that organized the murder of Martin Luther King would say, well, we did. We stopped that black movement.
Yes.
They felt they were successful.
Yes.
Are they suffering economically, or now, as businessmen, do the rapid changes in society, or...?
No. Some of them are still prosperous. Some have altered their direction.
Any of them feel bad about it? Change, in a sense?
No. They feel that they were good Americans.
Right.
They prevented what they believed was a sincere change in demographics. Now, realize that many of them now are grouping around the problem. This is just another group still influenced by the first group, who, though they disbanded, still hold certain power. The threat to the Union of the United States is the Spanish-speaking population.
So who's grouping, the mafia or the racists?
Now, these are racists.
They're worried about that influence through the unions.
No. They're concerned that there is such an influx of Spanish-speaking people that English will no longer exist in the United States.
Oh, I see. You're not talking about unions.
No.
You're talking about united political blocs.
Yes.
And they're going to do some... Did they kill that guy, Willie? Willie somebody in 88, who was it? It was going to be a heavy campaigner with Dukakis out of Texas. Willie somebody.
Mm.
Some heavy Spanish organizer.
Yes.
He was murdered, it seems.
Yes.
That kind of, there'll be murders in that zone, you're
yes,
saying?
Yes, there will be.
Yeah.
You see, what makes this so, from one perspective, ridiculous, is that the black vote is stronger than ever, but it has not altered, in truth, the demographics of the United States. Rather than a cohesive black vote, the black vote is distributed among Republicans, Democrats, fringe groups, whatever.
Yeah.
The demographics have not been greatly altered. In fact, through voter registration, through increased opportunity, there are more prosperous blacks than before. And these are those people who once the country was warned against, but they are not affecting as once thought. So therefore, these groups do not see the black vote as the problem that once was.
Yeah.
So they're looking at the Spanish vote now as the one to look out for. The, in other words, the Spaniards and the Spanish-speaking peoples now have taken over that yellow peril concept. And you'll find that many of the people in positions there will be harmed across the next several years.
Are they aware of this threat, the Spanish-speaking
peoples? Yes, absolutely.
The politicos are?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So they'll be quite upset about this when it starts to manifest.
When it starts to further manifest, because it's being manifest already.
Yeah.
As it begins to further manifest, watch professional bodyguards being with those in Spanish politics.
Yeah. It's interesting. I know that some of the mafia Teamster guys supported the LaRouche organization in the 80s.
Yes.
And that came out in the book by Dennis King.
Yes.
Were they using the LaRouche organization?
Absolutely, yes.
And they were, and some of these people, the LaRouche people don't know it, weren't connected to the Kennedy assassination.
Yes.
And to the Robert Kennedy.
Yes.
And they don't know that.
No.
They just think the Union has the right ideology. The LaRouche pump out that ideology, and these guys support that ideology for their purposes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's the foolishness.
The following is a recording of a session given by the Evergreens. The Evergreens is a name we have given to the group of entities numbering between 6.5 and 7,000 who speak through Michael.
I don't know what happened there. Let's see.
All participants are now muted. All participants are now unmuted.
Any comments, Evan?
Wow. That was,
that was
gosh.
Real.
Yeah. And it, just kind of brought a tear to my eye, just the idea of all of this mania and projection and control and freaking, you know, killing off.
Yeah.
You know, just over, you know, some scraps and stuff like that. But the idea of JFK not being American enough, can you expound on that? You know, what would it have been if we had this Catholic to last his whole term? What exactly is an example of the Vatican coming in and making some kind of theocracy in the United States that Hoover was so afraid of? What really could have happened? Anything? I mean, what is he talking about? What was?
No.
What was?
It was the madness of Hoover, and he was in the power to impose his vision over everybody. It was just Hoover. There was, you know, problems that Catholics weren't liked in a general way, but that reality disappeared by the late 60s because of this speed up and the change of society. Nobody cared about religious affiliation, but it was important in the 50s. But Hoover was stuck back in the 20s. He was frozen back in the 20s, 30s, and 40s.
What was this about Kennedy killing the Prime Minister of Vietnam, who was a Catholic? Somebody was saying that that had something to do with it, but Hoover wouldn't care about that.
No. It wasn't connected to that. The assassination was run by Hoover to help Hoffa get Attorney General office back. See, Hoover knew the Kennedys had murdered Marilyn Monroe. So he thought, he said, these guys are thugs. You know, these guys are assholes. This is Hoover and his righteousness had a little bit of that going for him. Little thread. So here's the thing, Evan. I'm going to play a whole bunch of different stuff. I'm going to show you how, don't even start thinking about it yet. But the facts aren't all in. You're going to hear way more complexities.
Great.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Great.
You're going to find out who the players are and then how they're all entangled and overlaying and all fucked up, you know? So, I mean, that's what he's saying, that the blacks, they still got middle class, regardless of not having the voter districts. So that that was no big deal. But now that, but then the business, the white guys went after the Spanish now.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So now there was a prediction. I thought I'd remember it. The Evergreens made a prediction in this one, and whatever it was accurate. It was right on, and I can't remember right now. Thought I'd remember. I want to say that what we're listening to is September 10th, 1991, and the one before was April 26th, 1991.
Oh, fantastic.
Now, I don't know why that bumped off. Did I actually get to the... oh, yeah, that was only 22 minutes. Okay, so I got to... just hold a minute. I got to figure out where we were. I think I'll leave it at that point.
Sure.
And go on to the next part. The important point is to realize the Teamsters and the Mafia were intertwined since the 1920s. And this is what Martin Scorsese is probably going to show in Boardwalk Empire.
Right. Very good. Very good.
Yeah.
It's worth. They're not talking about the teachers' union.
Not yet. It's only 1923-24. You know.
No. I mean, the unions and the mafia tied together.
Who'd you say they were? Who you said they? Do the sentence over again. What are you saying?
The Evergreen mentioned that the unions and the mafia were tied together, and that's why Robert Kennedy was assassinated. And so, when I say the unions, they're not talking about the teachers' union, are they?
No.
As well.
Well, they might be in New York City because it gets all overlapped by. 80s and 90s. See, that's where it could get. The point is, it's the triangle of the Teamsters, the Mafia, and the unions. But he's not saying which unions. There's the Teamsters
right.
Union. So I will be asking later questions. I keep refining it, you know, and trying to start off the broadest outline. And I keep going over those themes for years with getting extra details. And that's what I'm going to try to play you tonight. You know, several layers of the situation. To give you an example, so
hey Bob,
yeah,
you were talking about the five.
It's six,
you know.
Guys. It's six.
Okay,
Hoover,
so those are
plus
six
five.
Guys. Okay, Hoover plus five. Did you already say all of the five?
Yeah, on your recording a year ago.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, it's It's Hoover, Hoffa, Nelson Rockefeller, Curtis LeMay, and one non-entity, who would be the CIA.
Okay.
And we'll get into Dulles and James Jesus Angleton. That's an interesting part. Basically, everybody in every fucking movie, book, in the whole genre of going into the... Underworld of America is all wrong. Everybody's wrong when you come up to the actual facts. So, okay, so I'm going to get this next part.
Who was the media representative in that? Or who was it? Was it?
It'd be Rockefeller.
Okay.
You know, they own the three networks.
Right.
So what's important here is what we just heard is that the JFK, RFK, and MLK are not linked. But May, Brussel, Rouge, and many people, Dave Emery, will say they are linked, the same people. Right? So this is the important point here.
Very true. Okay.
So let's try this one. I think we get some fucking details in this one. Okay.
But
it's a different kind of detail. What are we going to say?
Couldn't they be a little bit linked in that they were all allowed to happen? I mean, you know, if you have the FBI, CIA, etc., you know, monitoring and looking
well,
at
Hoover, they weren't allowed to happen. They were all allowed to be happen only by Hoover. It's all one guy. There's like It's like beef farts. There are 40 people in the world, and 5 of them are hamburger. So there are 35 people, 5 are dead, and Hoover is just Hoover and a bunch of other guys.
Okay,
you know, it's a consolidation of centralized power, and in relation to a simple analog TV environment.
So when did Scorsese make Hoover with Leonardo DiCaprio? Is that who made Hoover? Didn't they just do a movie on Hoover?
I saw that. It was lousy. That really was a crummy movie. I don't know if it was Scorsese. I doubt it, because it couldn't have been that bad, but we could look it up just for, I'd be curious to see if it was Scorsese.
Because I know he's working with DiCaprio all the time now.
Yeah, let's see. Hoover, DiCaprio.
Yeah, it didn't look like it was going to be that great.
So it was director's Clint Eastwood. No wonder it was a bit limited.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. Well, he's the big right winger, so he probably tried to make him look just like you said, a patriot.
I think he tried to present him as a frustrated gay guy. And the Evergreens say that Hoover was not gay. Now, many people don't believe that. Wouldn't agree with the Evergreens on that point. But the Evergreens might be right.
Did they say he was a cross-dresser?
Yes, and the reason he did that is the only way he could get out of his role and think differently. And Clyde Toler, or whichever his aides, is it Clyde or the other guy, I can't remember, he was comfortable. They let Hoover do that, walk around his home in women's clothing, because he could think differently and plot and scheme better. It was a way of getting out of his rigid role in public. He had to sort of go into another. It was an anti-environment to himself. And his buddy, they like to show they like to say the other guy, Clyde, whatever his name is, LaRoche, they were gay, and they're always trying to tempt Hoover. That was shown in the Clint Eastwood movie, but they always say that there was no gay thing going on.
Hmm. Okay,
so let's move on to this one. Where could we? Just a second. But you see the force of the mind of the Evergreens. You're noticing how rapidly they can say their stuff, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And then the Jamaicans coming in. That's so interesting, the Jamaicans coming in.
And remember, that is 20 years ago. That was done in 1991.
Right.
Now they've got, you know, the Colombians, the Mexicans, they got huge, huge provinces.
Yeah, Russia. Russians, maybe a little bit.
No, the Mexicans is run by the drug cartels, Colombia.
Yeah, true.
Jamaica.
I'm sorry.
You know, 20 years ago, these mafias were getting strong, and they got stronger, stronger, stronger.
Are all these mafias like former military police? I mean, it's so violent. Is that where they get most of the...
It's probably a mixture. Probably a mixture of all kinds of people. It's the working class fucking going paranoid. That's like the unions. The working class were assholes. And it was their time in the 20th century. Now it's moving into a whole new level where the class structure, the class values don't work anymore. Because people are becoming individualistic with their matrix-like womb tombs.
Yeah.
You can't even get a community going. You can't get a group going like the 20th century had the union community sense.
Right.
How about Farrakhan?
Oh, he's bad. Very bad for the Evergreens. He did it.
Really? He did what?
He was Martin Luther King.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
No. I'm joking. No, that didn't happen. Forget that.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wait.
Oh,
no, wait. I made a mistake there.
I'm sure.
But what about Farrakhan, then?
I don't know. I was drunk. I don't know why I say that. Sorry. You know, Farrakhan is a good guy. I donate to his church.
Hold it. It was the other... Oh no. That was Malcolm X. Did you ever talk about Malcolm X?
Yeah, that's who I made the mistake. I just said that Farrakhan killed Malcolm X. I was nuts. I shouldn't have said that. That's not right.
It was the Honorable Muhammad.
No comment.
Why?
You'll see. We get there.
Okay.
Okay, so this is now May 6, 1992. And we get some details on a different level in this one.
Hmm. 1802. Here, would you locate Bob Dean?
What yes, you have.
And Carolyn Dean. Yes. Okay, I'll
turn it over to greetings, Evergreen. I remember a year or so ago, the Evergreens were quite confident that the files on the JFK assassination would come out a lot sooner than the legislative time of 2029 or 2038.
Yes.
Do you remember making that prediction?
Indeed, sir.
And, of course, what's happened in the past year is the JFK movie came out and it certainly sped it up beyond anybody's anticipation. Did the Evergreens know it would be speeded up by this movie?
There would be many circumstances. The movie would be just one of them.
But you knew it would happen a lot sooner than people would recommend.
Yes.
So I noticed in the new newsletter, the Evergreens say, as a result of all this information coming out, there'll be much confusion.
Yes.
And less resolved than understood than before.
Yes.
So I was wondering if the Evergreens could answer some of my particular questions on the environment around the shooting, develop what we've talked about before.
Yes.
All right?
Please.
Okay, how many shots were fired at the car?
Four.
And where did they come from?
The book depository and the knoll.
And the grassy knoll.
Yes.
How many from the grassy knoll?
One.
And three from the book depository?
Yes.
And who fired the shots in the book depository, or from the book depository?
Oswald.
Right. Now, this is, after we've done the reading, I looked up the reading done in 1977.
Yes.
The Mysteries of History. And it says, Kennedy knew these warnings, and here believed honestly that attempts upon his life would be once again warnings. For he himself stood fast on certain things that he himself would not change. The last was not a warning. Once again, the pattern make itself known. The individual to whom it was ascribed, fired the shots from the Texas Book Depository did not do so, but did know that an attempt was here being made upon the president's life.
Yes.
But did believe that any attempt would be a warning.
Yes.
So, this is not accurate in 1977.
No, it's accurate. The point is that if you would see that this as a setup, and Oswald set up, and if you follow exactly the arguments presented by the army sharpshooters, and plus his record, you'll find that the ability of himself to do this was nigh on impossible. Yet it was done. The point is, it has been said that there's one shooter in the depository. Oswald fired shots. There was another gun in the depository.
On the same floor?
No, higher.
Inside or on the roof?
Inside.
And how many shots did Oswald fire?
Two.
And the other guy shot the third one?
Yes.
Oswald was he assumed this was warning shots, so he wasn't trying to hit Kennedy.
He was trying to warn by firing in the general direction of. You see, the point is, Oswald himself was a manipulated person. Manipulated beyond what many believe. and brought a gun into the depository that day with the intent of shooting at the motorcade, shooting at the president's car.
And missing.
And essentially missing.
Did any of his shots connect?
Yes. One.
Mm-hmm. And was that the first shot that hit Kennedy?
That was the first one.
And that was the one that comes through his throat, I think?
Through, comes through the...
Or the back.
Back of the neck, exiting through the throat.
Right. And then the other shot, where did it go?
It entered the top of the head at the moment the head was thrown backwards.
Oh, no, I meant where did Oswald's other second shot go?
The second shot... hit the curbing.
That's the one that's down the way on the curb.
Yes.
So the other shooter hit Kennedy in the back of the head.
Yes.
And did Degrassi Knoll hit Kennedy?
Yes. And Connolly.
How many shots did the Degrassi Knoll person take?
One.
Did it go through Connolly first?
Went through Kennedy, hit Connolly. It hit bone in Kennedy, diverted, hit Connolly, very close range.
It came back, sort of.
No, there is a definite angle here.
All right, now...
But not back on itself, no.
Where did the Degrassi Knoll shot here hit Kennedy? What part of the body?
Through the side of the head.
So Kennedy was hit twice. In the head.
Yes.
And the two headshots hit him about the same time.
Within 3/4 of a second of each other, yes.
And I think the Evergreens did point out that Kennedy, the main damage was from the shot behind.
Yes.
Even though everybody thinks it's the shot from the grass and all coming at from the front.
Mm. Well, the point here is, any of these... Would have caused fatality.
Yeah.
The point that's being stressed here is the autopsy results will show damages that have not been talked of or even known about for since the assassination itself. There are damages to the head which are not mentioned and will be shown were essentially covered up. And there's reason for this. Because if it could be pinned to one person, and it was skewed that way, so it would be pinned to one person, it would not then look as conspiracy as it was. Now, there are those that would say the conspiracy theories here, left, right, and center. Point is, to keep this to one person limits it. To eradicate that one person closes the door even further. You see?
All right, now I think there's a shot, there's the famous photo of the hole in the shirt, Kennedy's shirt. Now, was there a shot that came through the back?
The bullet that entered through the back of the head shattered itself. It divided into various portions, the majority of the bullet exiting through the throat. Certain metal particulate, smaller metal, traveled downwards, plus there is that hole in the shirt is not completely accurate because there is blood dripped to the shirt that look as if there are additional holes, that not a penetration wound from the center or from the front. All from the back and the side.
Right, so one from the back of the head, that's the real sniper above Oswald, and there's the one from the back of the head through the throat.
Now, the bullet from Oswald is the back of the neck exiting the throat.
Throat, right.
But as this happened, the main trunk of the body is thrust forward, the head moves backwards as in whiplash style.
Yeah.
But the second bullet enters the top of the head. The body moves forward on the third bullet from the
grassy knoll.
Hit the side of the head.
From the grassy knoll.
Yes.
And so that's the three bullets, four shots, three hit him.
Yes.
Now, Oswald was not really trying to hit him.
Oswald was trying to do damage, but not to a full assassination attempt, as in particularly. He was not that good a marksman. What he wanted to do was put a bullet in the car. And who it hit? It hit. That was the premise. He was not that good a marksman to place shots accurately vis-a-vis from his position to the car. Was not that accurate, nor was trained to.
Right. Now, he knew that because he was not accurate, he'd be the perfect guy to do a warning because he wouldn't really have to hit the target square on. Did he know that,
Yeah, what his thinking was, put a bullet in the car. Whoever gets hit, gets hit.
Right. You said that the bullet from the school book above Oswald, the
yes.
other sniper,
yes.
hit the top of his head and went down through the throat.
Went down and lodged itself into the base of the skull. Did not exit or go further. Was stopped by the sheer mass of the skull at its lower point, just behind the joint of the jaw and behind the ear fractionally. Very deeply in there. The x-rays will show this.
That was covered up. I don't think there's any report of a bullet found in the skull, so that was covered up.
Yes. Plus, the retouching of the photographs will be shown as done for reason.
Right. Now, the shot from the grassy knoll hits the side of Kennedy's head.
Yes.
And then it comes, how does it get back and hit Connolly?
It hits the skull, enters the skull, exits the skull, bounces from the edge of the car, hits Connolly.
In the wrist and all those things in Connolly.
Yes. You see, if you look carefully at the trajectory of this, that it's virtually impossible for one bullet to go through Kennedy and strike Connolly in that manner. So therefore, he was looking for a certain extra bullet, which did not exist.
Right. When you say that the individual to whom it was ascribed fired the shots did not do so, were the Evergreens being careful in how they said that at that point, since it was dangerous?
Yes.
And so you admit it's not exactly accurate.
It indicates that strictness.
It indicates that he didn't shoot.
No, he shot. Pointing out towards certain inconsistencies of the situation, but at that time, when those words were said, no things such as the movies of 92, 91, or the drive to this would be done. But we knew that a certain record had to be done.
You had to say something. So you knew that it could be pointed out that this is not accurate, this statement.
Yeah, partially not accurate.
Yeah, it would.
Fired shots, but he did not fire all the shots.
And he did not really do it to kill the president.
No. The point is, if it hit someone in the car, it hit someone in the car. The car was full, and he was not that good a marksman.
So the individual to whom it was ascribed, quoting, fired the shots, did not do so. You're implying the shots that killed him.
Yes.
With the intention of killing him.
Yes.
Right, all right. So when I saw that, I had to get that checked out. Now, what is the role of Jack Ruby? Was he in on the conspiracy, or did he just get angry? What's the relationship between Oswald and Ruby?
Well, there is no relationship other than they had met earlier. And Ruby was, as, quote, patriotic as the individuals that set up the entire situation. That Ruby could be pushed into shooting Oswald was an opportunity that could not be missed, because if not then Oswald would have been eliminated later.
Was Ruby aware of the assassination before it happened?
Not completely, but knew that something was going to be done to put the president on a, the term used with him was war footing, to make the, not to be so conciliatory in certain things concerning Vietnam and certain budget expenditures to the armies.
Also in relation to Cuba?
Not so much. Cuba was a factor in this, but not a great factor.
Right. Now, how was he a member of the Mafia?
Ruby?
Yes.
He liked to think so, but he was not.
And
he was more of a hanger-on, more of a dutiful person. He enjoyed the, quote, glamour, unquote, of it.
He knew these people in Chicago in the 30s, and that was part of the mystique he carried with him to Dallas?
Yes.
And so the Mafia people who were involved, they knew he could be used to kill Oswald?
It was an opportunity too good to miss.
And so they encouraged him between Saturday and Sunday?
Yes.
And?
And he knew the area, knew the police station, knew many of the officers. You see, to understand the psychology of Ruby is to understand that he was not anything but a petty criminal in his activities, minor indiscretions, but he liked the mystique, the word you used, of being associated with crime in its heyday. But under all this, he admired the police and consorted with the police as oftentimes as he could. He admired them. And in many ways, could have been a policeman. And in many ways, because of that, felt it justified to have a gun, carry a gun. He pretended oft times that he was more connected with the law than other people knew. He was not. That would give that impression. He liked giving impressions of being slightly beyond the law, recognized by the law. And it was a facade, but nonetheless a useful facade for himself. And then when it came to be that Oswald was captured and not killed as planned, and Ruby was saying the man should die, then there were those that were eager to pull that trigger. And did so. Because Oswald was not supposed to survive the day at all. If you would see certain actions that he thought he was going to be shot, that's why he ran when Tippett was there, and that's why he shot Tippett. Now, there's a point that has to be stressed here. Oswald would not have survived more than 2 days tops in any event.
Were the people who used Ruby to shoot Oswald, took advantage of his mindset, they were involved in the conspiracy to kill JFK?
Yes, they were. Now, they were also seen by witnesses in Ruby's nightclub. As a result of that, three of the witnesses are no longer living.
They saw only the one. Saw the two snipers.
They saw the people who persuaded Ruby to be the trigger man.
And that would be Saturday.
That
Friday
was the,
or Saturday?
That was the evening before
Ruby shot him.
Ruby shot. It'd
be Saturday.
Mm. There were three people. In actuality, there were four who were seen noticing who Ruby was with that evening. Three of those witnesses are dead. One is still alive.
All right. So
the point is, this need to be examined. Why would these people from his club meet death? When they had to, Ruby had nothing to do with this. But they saw who Ruby was with, and that's why they died. One of them is still able to give testimony, and she herself is at this present time in hiding.
Yeah, I know the, let's see, the rifle, The person who shot from the Texas School Book Depository, not Oswald, the other guy, was he killed that day?
No.
The man who shot from the grassy knoll was killed that day.
Yes.
Yeah, he was killed the next day by a friend because he was going to break under the situation according to Evergreens in 77.
Yes.
So the guy from the Texas School Book Depository, he didn't get killed?
No.
And did he survive for many years?
Yes.
All right. Now, is Oliver Stone's life in danger for making this movie?
No.
And why isn't that, since the Evergreens did say there are still people being killed and witnesses being killed?
Yes. But not Stone. Not now. The point is that Stone would not be in danger because it prove a point that is not necessary to prove, and is at this time not necessary to continue. You see, Stone can that report. He was not a direct witness to any of those things that happened. Those who were direct witnesses were killed, and a number of them.
How many witnesses have been killed because of the murder of JFK?
22.
Not 150. Some investigators say it's up to 150 people who are connected to.
You suggest that that is not accurate.
So it's 22 technically at this point.
Yes.
Who put the what's called the magic bullet on the stretcher in the Parkland Hospital where Kennedy's body was? They claim that was the bullet that hit everybody, JFK and Connolly. Some people think Ruby put the bullet there, but Ruby wasn't involved in that level.
No, was not involved at that level, nor was it the had opportunity. The bullet is placed there by an attendant. Person dressed as an attendant.
He was part of the conspiracy.
Yes, and is no longer alive.
Was he killed many years later?
No. Within less than 1 year. And that was a minor. That was a minor action.
Right.
There are still repercussions of this.
That's right. My next question would be, did the Evergreens want to explain who the people were, or is that still dangerous to talk about?
We would suggest not only dangerous, but fatally dangerous. At this stage, we'll discuss it in all its ramifications, yes, but it was necessary for a certain number of people to die that then the danger would lessen. Now, as the notes of the Warren Commission are released, what will be also found is that there is a considerable amount of information that is missing. As that is found and also released, which take approximately 2 years to do, then it can be freely said as to the complete linkages, starting with the FBI.
As we discussed before.
Yes.
With Hoover.
Yes.
What kind of mindset did Lee Harvey Oswald have to want to kill Kennedy? I mean, what was he, a right winger, or what was he mad about? Why could he be used?
You see, that type of personality is an easily molded personality. That type of personality can be easily directed. Give that person false linkages, such as Kennedy, soft on Vietnam, wants to alter this, the pride of the country would be affected, other countries will fall like dominoes. It's all due to the whim of one man who does not understand, should be brought to his attention that this is a dangerous world and that should be asked to pay for this, and so on. And you would trigger a mind such as his, especially when this one was so easily molded, as shown by all those things he did.
So the basic patriotic mindset was used.
Yes.
And exploited. Was he a member of Navy intelligence? What was his actual intelligence position? You know, in classification.
Code clerk. Minor. Restricted.
So what agency would he, was he generally part of?
ONI.
Navy intelligence.
Yes. But in a position that could be best described as a traffics signals individual. Was not privy to much more than troop movements and troop deployments and those things.
Why did he go to Russia?
Because he had a belief in his mind that he would be joining a society where there's more understanding of the needs of the individual.
So that he wasn't sent as an undercover, he actually defected from the United States?
Yes, actually defected.
Why was there no debriefing of him when he was brought back?
There was. And it was extremely minor. What could he say? What could he know? It was known completely as to what intelligence level he was within the American system. And that is extremely minor. The codes that he was had access to were minor codes that themselves were changed on a tri-weekly basis. It had nothing to do with the important consular codes or the full military codes. Had nothing to do with these. And when he returned, what was he exposed to? And he was so transparent and so easily, so puppy dog styled, trying to please those who would question him. That was one of the reasons that why he was pliable, he had to be eliminated as quick as possible, because he immediately would be on the side of his questions, giving everything that he knows.
But once they saw he was so pliable, they set him up to be the dupe.
Yes.
What's the date? When did the conspiracy get hatched by Hoover in 62 or 63? When did it really start?
It started as, how does one trigger Hoover? How does one get this person moving? And that was 62.
In the fall or?
In mid-year.
Mid-year. So it took a little over a year to carry out.
Yes.
All right. I think I'll let you go on another topic.
Please.
The Evergreen said that I've had about approximately 1,500 past lives, and I'll have another 1,000 or so future lives. I was interested, I don't know if this has ever been discussed, how many past lives did Jesus the Nazarene have before he had his life as a Nazarene, and did he have any lives after that life?
Of those lives, from that perspective, to be considered past, we see 1,271. Of those lives to be considered future, we see 1,891.
That's the Nazarene's lives.
Yes.
So he has reincarnated many times.
Yes.
Since his life as Jesus.
Yes.
This would be surprising to people who think that this person was the Son of God and had one life and made his point and saved us all. Does that person who reincarnated since he was the Nazarene ever aware that he was that person?
Only in two of them.
And when was that?
That was in the late 1400s, one in the mid-1800s.
And what happened when he realized he was that person? Was he quite intelligent to be able to do that?
I was surprisingly intelligent. The point is, what could he do with it? You see, there are many people who would say because they have problems with their own identity, with their own image of themselves, would say that they would be Christ in another existence, or Cleopatra, or take choice.
Yes.
But to himself, knowing that enabled him to make choices in the life that was being lived that he would not have made otherwise. That's all.
How did he realize it?
He dreamt.
He what?
He dreamt. And his dream could not have been anything else but real. He was not a religious person. He was not one that suffered from religious hysteria. He was evenly balanced, somewhat religious, somewhat not. Eminently practical in both lives in which it's happened. But it came through with such an intensity, you see.
When he would die, he'd then see all his lives and he'd know it.
Absolutely.
And is he given much respect and recognition on the soul plane by souls who know who he was when they're dead and are communicating? When we're communicating, when we die and we're on that dimension,
yes,
we kind of acknowledge him as special?
Yes, but it need to be discussed. If you see a person in uniform, much gold braid, much scarlet uniform, impressive cockade hat, and you bow and say, "Oh, great general," and you see that it's the doorman at the Ritz, that is exactly how he says, "You dress me." That is not who I am. You see, people would ascribe so many things to that soul, but all that soul wants is to be understood for the messages that were done not only in that life but certain other lives.
Right, so that the performance that is, I guess, the Passover plot, the performance that Jesus the Nazarene and his friends did to affect the people at that time, you know, 0 AD, 3 AD, whatever the date is, the beginning of our Christian calendar, that was a great theatrical art form that group did, you know, in terms of a long-range effect.
In terms of that, yes.
Even though he would probably agree that they created a lot of disservices.
It created exactly the opposite of what he wanted, which was that one does not create unity through the diversiveness of thought. What he wanted was...